I want to make the best of what God has given us this morning. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, as we have gone through this week and we realize that we've been on the road with Christ this week, amen. We followed him from last Sunday when he was on his way and he set his face towards Jerusalem and started coming towards the cross. On that Palm Sunday, he made his entrance into Jerusalem, knowing that that would be the last Sunday that he would be alive, that he would soon lay down his life for us. The Bible says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes, righteous and having salvation. The Bible says he came righteous and he brought salvation with him. Gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The crowds were waving at him, waving their palms, waving in the air and shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Glory, Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. On that Monday, Jesus arrives at the temple, and lo and behold, he sees that they have turned his temple into something different than what it was intended to be. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus got a little upset. Have you ever seen somebody do something different than what it was supposed to be? And you got upset. Jesus got upset, and he overturned the tables. And he said, my temple, he claimed it for himself, my temple will be a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. Oh, hallelujah. He claimed his temple, my temple. On that afternoon, a hungry Jesus, anticipating that he was going to get something to eat off the fig tree, and he saw the fig tree and walked up to it, but it was barren. And he cursed it. And he cursed it. And he did that because he wanted people to see that everything that you look at, although it might look fruitful, hallelujah, looks are deceiving. That's why we must walk by faith and not by sight. Can we say that? Walk by faith and not by sight. On the next day, Jesus and the disciples, as they was on their way to the Mount of Olives, passed that same fig tree, and they appeared that it was withered. And Jesus said to them, have faith in God. Can we say this morning, have faith in God? Hallelujah. But back at the temple, the religious leaders, they were upset with Jesus for establishing his spiritual authority. Don't you know that when you establish the spiritual authority that Christ has given you as his child, that the enemy is going to get upset at you? Hallelujah. Don't you know that hellfire is going to start coming at you? But have faith in God. Have faith that God is going to provide a way of escape for you. Hallelujah. Jesus, later that afternoon, he went up on the Mount of Olives, and he gave the Olivet Discourse. And he gave an elaborate prophecy about the destruction of Jerusalem and about the end of the age. He speaks, as usual, in parables, using language about the end times and the events, and including his second coming and the final judgment. On Wednesday of that week, traditionally known as Holy Wednesday, but somebody got to say it was Spy Wednesday, because that was the day that Judas conspired to hand Jesus over. He negotiated his price, 30 pieces of silver. Oh, hallelujah. And on that Thursday, Maundy Thursday, our Christ, knowing what was to come, he had the Lord's Supper and the feet washing. And he says, I have been very eager to eat this Passover with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning, its fulfillment in the kingdom of God. As the Lamb of God was beginning to realize he had a couple of days left, he wanted to have a last meal with his disciples. He wanted to show his servanthood with his disciples. He wanted to be humble and say, listen, neither one of you is bigger than the other. And if you want to be big, be humble. Hallelujah. He got down on his feet and bent down and he washed their feet. Later that evening, as he went to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, oh, hallelujah, you know you can take your friends with you. Come on, somebody. You can take your friends with you and ask them to have your back, to watch out for you. And they'll promise you everything in the world. I got your back. He took the disciples, three disciples up there with him. They had his back. And when he came back, he found them sleeping. He said, can I not be gone for an hour? Just an hour and not find you sleeping. Can you have my back for just a little while? He went up to pray again. He comes back. They're sleeping again. Oh, hallelujah. Your friends are going to sleep on you in the most important times of your life. But have faith in God. Hallelujah. Later that evening, Jesus was betrayed by a kiss from Judas and arrested by the Sanhedrin. Isn't that important? He was betrayed by a kiss. Ooh, hallelujah. Every time somebody kisses you, it don't mean that they love you. I think I need to say that again. Every time somebody kisses you, it don't really mean that they love you. Hallelujah. But in that early morning, hallelujah, even people who said they got your back, Peter, who had Jesus' back, who took the sword out and cut the soldier's ear off, and Jesus mended it back by putting it back there. That same Peter who said, I'd never deny you, Christ. Jesus looked at him and said, you're going to deny me three times. In the most important times of your life, that person who says they got your back, that they're your boy, they're your cut buddy, that when something comes up, they're going to deny that they even know you. Hallelujah. Whole lot of things packed in 1 week with Jesus on his way to the cross. Hallelujah. But on that Friday, they call it Good Friday. The world calls it Good Friday. But it's the most difficult day of the Passion Week. It is the day that Christ's journey turned treacherous. It is the day that his journey turned painful. It is the day that Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Christ, thought it easy enough to take his life than to face the ridicule that he was going to face. Let me stop there and say to you that no matter what you go through, there is nothing that you can't go through that would cause you to take your life. Amen? There is nothing that can cause you or should cause you to take your life. Because what Jesus is going to do at the cross, it overcomes whatever ridicule. It overcomes whatever circumstance. It overcomes whatever you're going to go through. But you don't have to take your life. Jesus gave up his life, so you don't have to take your own life. Hallelujah. Jesus, the trial started early in the morning in somebody's house. Not even in a court, in the house of somebody. Before 9 a.m., Jesus has endured all kind of trials and accusations and condemnations, and mockeries and beatings and abandonment. But Jesus knew what he was there for. As the minister spoke last week, he said he accepted his assignment. He accepted his assignment. How many of us accept our assignment? Jesus gives us an assignment, and we don't even want to accept the assignment. But thank God for Jesus that he accepted the assignment. Hallelujah. The soldiers spit on him. They mocked him. They pierced him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Jesus carried his own cross to Calvary, where he was nailed to a wooden cross. Jesus spoke 7 final statements from the cross. But I think it's important to understand the first words and to understand the last words. The first words was, "Father, forgive them." All the pain, all the suffering, the first words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." His last words, "It is finished." What was it? But it is finished. And then, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He didn't say, "Father, I commit my body." He says, "I commit my spirit." Then about the 9th hour, Jesus passed away on that cross. By 6 o'clock, Nicodemus, the one who wanted to know, "Can a man born a woman be born again?" And Joseph of Arimathea came and took Jesus' body down from the cross and laid it in a tomb. Jesus' body on Saturday laid in that tomb where it was guarded by Roman soldiers throughout the day. When the Sabbath on that Saturday had ended, Christ's body was ceremoniously treated for the burial with spices purchased by the same Nicodemus. Nicodemus and Joseph, they were men who were secret followers of Christ, but they were afraid to make their public confession of Christ, public confession of their faith because of their prominent position. But they were affected by Christ's death. But then they boldly came out of hiding, risking their reputation and their lives when they came to realize that Jesus was indeed the long-awaited Messiah. Death, be not proud. Death can bring out boldness. Somebody say hallelujah. Death can put shame to shame. Death can destroy or minimize how prominent you are in your position. Hallelujah. While his physical body lay in the tomb, Jesus paid the price for sin by offering the perfect sacrifice for his all, for us all. He conquered death both spiritually and physically, securing our eternal salvation. But then on that Sunday, oh hallelujah, on Resurrection Sunday, we reach the end of Holy Week. On that Resurrection Sunday, there's the very foundation on what we stand on today. That is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. That is the doctrine of faith. Early that Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Joanna, Salomon, and they all went to the tomb to put more spices on the Lord. But when they got there, there was somebody sitting upon that tomb, and they said, "Don't be afraid," because they bowed right down. They got on their knees and they bowed right down, and they said, "Don't be afraid. I know who you're looking for. You come looking for Jesus." But what he wanted to know, why are you coming looking for somebody who's dead? when Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Don't come looking for death. Come looking for life in the name of Jesus. When you come to Jesus, come to him for life, not for death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today, but I want you to understand. I want you to see a bigger perspective of the cross. Hallelujah. Than just that. I want to go back, looking back in scriptures years before the crucifixion. Because the scripture tells us that Jesus was the suffering servant. Hallelujah. Years before the crucifixion, the scripture tells us that it was a peculiar, that it was a distinguishing document and a doctrine of Christ that needed to happen. You see, because there's more to the cross than just execution. The cross is about a life that was lived for us. The cross is about a life given to us. Hallelujah. I'm going to read from Isaiah 53, 1 to 10. It says, who has believed our report? Who understands what we're saying in the Bible? And whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. And he has no form, no comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised, hallelujah, and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid as if our faces were from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet he did not esteem himself stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, come on somebody, with his stripes, we are healed. All the while, we are like sheep going astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought to the as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb. So he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased. How can you be happy? But yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He has prolonged his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. I want to say to you this morning that this cross without Jesus is just a piece of wood. It's dead wood. But the cross with Jesus means life for us. When we look at this scripture and we see the big picture of the cross, we get to the big picture, we see the cross involves us. This is not about just Jesus, but it involves you and it involves me. Amen? It wasn't the cross that held Jesus. It wasn't the nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was his love for me and for you. Hallelujah. We're the reason that there is a cross. But what does the scripture say about us? What does the scripture say about me? What does the scripture say about you? It says we were like sheep. Sheep are not smart. I'm not smart. I think I am, and I thought that I was. But when I came to Jesus, I realized how smart I really wasn't. Without a shepherd, without somebody to lead you, we just wander away. We easily get lost. Oh, hallelujah. When you don't know the way, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When you don't know the way, and when you don't follow the way, you're lost. Shepherd, a sheep without a shepherd. Don't you know when you were born lost. You were born into sin. You were born lost. Wandering through life until you found Jesus. And he says we all, the scripture says we all turn our own way. Don't you know that we want to do things in our own way? That we want to follow our own direction. Thinking we know the right way. Thinking that everybody else is lost, but I know the way. And when you're lost, you walk in circles. How many times have you thought that you were going to do something to find yourself right back from where you started? Because you were lost and you didn't know the way. So many times I've been to church and come to church and heard the church service and heard the word of God. And I thought that I knew better. And I was lost until I came full circle and I came back to what I was once taught, to what I was taught as a child. Hallelujah. Some of us, we're taught things and then we leave because we think that we know better. We run around, we say those church folk, they don't know nothing. They ain't never been nowhere. I can do better. And when you get lost, you find yourself coming back to the same circles, hearing the same scriptures, doing the things that you knew to do earlier. The Bible says that we're walking in circles and that we're lost. That's the big picture on us. When we're lost, we need a Savior. But the big picture on Jesus is that Jesus, God, the Son, that Jesus stepped off of the throne of heaven to walk among us, his creation. Jesus has the authority. The scripture says the Father loves the Son and has given him all things into his hands. That means to say that the Father loves the Son and the Son has all authority. He placed everything into the hands of Jesus. Hallelujah. And he is despised and he's rejected, even though he has all of this authority. When we look at the life of Jesus, how do we treat this one man, the Son of God? How did we treat the man with all his authority? He was despised. He was rejected. Have you ever seen a sick dog, a sick animal? They're rejected. They're despised. Hallelujah. He was a man of sorrow, verse 3 says. Imagine the sorrow being rejected by the ones that you love. Have you ever loved somebody so much? And then when they reject you, it hurts you so bad. Hallelujah. I want to know if I have some people who have loved before. I said, have you ever loved somebody so much and they rejected you? How much that pain hurts you? Jesus was still ministering to us for 3 years. He was still talking to the people for all of these times. And he was rejected by the ones he loved. Me and you are part of that who rejected him. Amen. He was rejected by them, but he still kept fighting for them. Hallelujah. He was rejected by them, but he was still healing the sick. He was rejected by them, but he was still raising the dead. He was rejected by them, but he was still ministering. I'm here to tell you this morning, even though you're rejected by the world, even though you're rejected by your family, even though you're rejected at your job, you keep ministering the word of God to them. Hallelujah. Even though he was rejected, he spoke no deceit. Despite all of this, his creation, the ones he loved, nailed him to the cross. Scripture says he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. He was a man who died. He was a man who's bruised. He was a man who was wounded, pierced, and crushed. The weight of the burden of all of our sins, your sin. I can't take your sin. I can hardly take mine. But he took my sin, and he took your sin, and he took your sin, and he took your mother's sin, and your daddy's sin, and your uncle's sin, and your sister's sin, and your brother's sin from many years ago, from before, from now, and to the future. He took all of those sins to the cross with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He did that because he loved us. The big picture on Jesus is that he lived and he died through rejection. We need to see the big picture because the big picture is not just about the cross, but it's about us and it's about him. And why did he do it? Because he came to set the captives free. Don't you know that you're captive by the enemy when you're living in sin? He came as an offering for our sin. Hallelujah. Our old history. Each and every one of us has a history. If you have a history, say amen. I know that I got a history, but the Bible tells me because he died on the cross that my old history ended right there. My new history begins with Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Hallelujah. The Bible says he bore our griefs and our sicknesses. We're all sick and have the disease of sin. He carried that sin to the cross. And now we can be free. The resurrection means that you can put truth in the grave, but it won't stay there. Hallelujah. The resurrection means that somebody can say something bad about who you used to be, but you don't have to live that, and you're not that. The Bible says he carried our sorrows. He carried that to this cross. And now we can be free. He was wounded for our transgression. We say that, but do you know what transgression is? Transgression is when you go against a command of a law. When you repeatedly sin and you go against the kingdom of God, it becomes a transgression. Hallelujah. You see, when we had the law was 610 laws. But underneath the law, there was other laws that they kept putting in their sub-laws. And nobody can live perfectly under the law. Jesus knew that we could not live under the law. So what did he do? He came and died for the law, against the law, and rebuked the law. And therefore, we have grace and mercy. So whatever it is, you know, under the law, whatever you were, you were. If you were a criminal, you're always going to be a criminal. If you were a prostitute, that's all you could ever be was a prostitute. If you were a thief, that's all you could ever be was a thief. Because they labeled you. But under grace and mercy, all things are passed away. Whatever you once were, you don't have to be that label no more. Amen? Hallelujah. This is what God brings to us. And it says, he was bruised for our iniquities. Oh, we say our iniquities. Do you know what your iniquities are? Your iniquities are when you continue to do your transgressions long enough, it becomes a perversion of the flesh. Hallelujah. When you do your transgressions long enough, it becomes an iniquity. But the Bible says whether you are doing transgressions or whether you're at the point of iniquities, God can cover them all. Hallelujah. That's why there's no shame in whatever you do, because Jesus Christ has already covered it at the cross. And now we're free. Can somebody say, I'm free? Can we say free at last? Free at last. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. I'm free at last. God gives us peace. When Jesus died on that cross, let me tell you what he did. He reconciled me and you with God. There was a division with God and man. Thanks to Adam and Eve, there's been a division. But when Jesus Christ came, the veil was torn between God and man. Hallelujah. He closed that gap where we can go to Jesus the Son and reach the Father. Hallelujah. You don't have to come to bishop. You don't have to come to pastor. You don't have to go to the missionary leader. You don't have to go to nobody. You can get on your knees and talk to the Lord, and you can have access to God Almighty. This is what Jesus did for me and you. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus died on that cross to bring us forgiveness. He died on there to reconcile us with God. He died as a curse. I'm going to say something right now, and I need to say it. So all of you that are in here today, all of you that might be listening to me today will understand the depth and the wealth and the breadth of what Jesus Christ did for you. I am getting sick and tired of people talking about generational curses. The Bible tells me that Jesus, the Bible says that under the law, that when somebody is crucified on wood, that's a cursed individual. The cross that Jesus Christ died on was wood. And when he died, he took all sins away. So that generational curse under the law no longer exists. Your mama could have been did it. You don't have to do it. Your daddy did it. You don't have to do it. Your brother did it. You don't have to do it. Your sister did it. You don't have to do it. You don't have to say, oh, it's a generational curse. Jesus Christ broke. Well, daddy was an alcoholic, so that means I'm going to be one. No, you don't. Daddy was a dope addict. You feel like you got to do it. No, you don't. Well, it's generational. It's in my blood. No, you don't. Because when the blood of Christ washed you, whoa, hallelujah, everything is new. All things are passed away. Everything is gone. You need to stop saying that. You need to inform people that Jesus wipes everything away. He didn't just die for a couple of sins. He died for every sin. He died against every law. Hallelujah. When Jesus rose from the grave, oh, hallelujah, everything was broken, even death. They said, well, I've seen him raise people from the dead, but they mocked him as he was on the cross. Do it to yourself. And he was just saying, just wait, I'm going to show you. They seen him raise Lazarus. They seen him raise the widow's son. They seen him cure the woman with the issue of blood. Hallelujah. They seen him cure the Jairus' daughter. They seen him heal the dumb. They seen him heal the blind. And there was Jesus, do it for yourself. But just wait. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Just wait. Hold on. Be patient. For the glory of the Lord is getting ready to come. He said in 3 days, oh, hallelujah. He says, this temple, this body is going to be destroyed, but I'm going to raise it up in 3 days. Hallelujah. Jesus is not worried about this temple, your earthly body. He's worried about your spirit. He's worried about your soul. No matter how bad this temple has gotten, he can raise that spirit up. Hallelujah. Jesus says, I give you the king. You don't have to pay for it. He said, I give you the king, the keys. I give it to you. Follow me. I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth. Oh, hallelujah. There's some binding that needs to go up right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever you bind on earth, there's some binding that needs to go on. You need to tell them, demonic spirit, I bind you up in the name of Jesus. He said, whatever you bind on earth, I bind it up in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I loose it in heaven. It's giving you the keys to the kingdom. All the price is already paid. You know, you go to your parents' house and you say, can I have this and can I have that? They say, take it. Take whatever you want. They don't want nothing from you because they love you. Your heavenly Father, he already paid the price. He don't want nothing from you. You can't pay him enough. You can't give him enough. He's already paid the price. Just follow me. Oh, hallelujah. Just follow me. He's freed you. You can be free today. Jesus Christ has freed all of us on that resurrection Sunday. I want you to know that he came to set the captives free. Can't no devil in hell overcome the power of the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Not only has he given you the keys to the kingdom, he's given you the right to call his name with authority. Whatever it is that the devil's doing, you can say in the name of Jesus. Oh, I don't know what you're going through this morning, but you need to stand up and think about it and call it right now and say in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I said stand up this morning, whatever you're going through, whatever circumstance you're going in right now, say in the name of Jesus. Bind it here on earth today. He's going to bind it in heaven. Loose it on earth today. He's going to loose it in heaven in the name of Jesus. You don't have a job in the name of Jesus. I'm going to have employment. You don't have a house in the name of Jesus. He's going to give me a house. I'm sick today in the name of Jesus. Healing is in the house. Oh, hallelujah. My son, he's out there doing bad things. In the name of Jesus, claim it and receive it. Bind it up. I want you to know this morning, Jesus says, he didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. I don't know what your it is this morning, but it is finished today. You need to call on the name of Jesus. It is finished today. Don't let another day go by. Finish it today. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that he overcame death. This is the day he overcome everything. Hallelujah. Free at last. When Jesus said it is finished, it didn't mean he was. Don't you know he was just getting started? Hallelujah. It's finished for the devil. It ain't finished for Jesus. It ain't finished for you and me. Hallelujah. We just getting started. Hallelujah. The devil and his minions, they can't stand up to the grace and mercy of the God. I want to know today, what's the big picture in your life? What's the big picture in your life? Have you trusted Jesus? Have you realized that everything that you're going through and that you have gone through, that you have the power in the name. Oh, hallelujah. That in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, it can get gone. It can get gone. You can tell it to go. Hallelujah. That's one of Jesus' favorite statements. Go. You can tell the enemy, go. Don't you know, you can just say that word, go. In the name of Jesus, go. He said, go make disciples. He healed the blind man. He said, go your way. When Mary and them came to the tomb, the angel of the Lord said, go your way. Go. You can tell the demonic spirits right now, go. You can tell the oppression from the devil, go. You can tell depression right now, go. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. On this Resurrection Sunday, have you accepted his payment? He paid it all for you on the cross. Have you accepted that payment? Don't go in your pocket to take on anything, but he already paid. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your promotion on the job already paid. Hallelujah. Your relationship that's going to bust, he already raised it back up, resuscitated it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, on this Resurrection Sunday, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is still in the saving business. He is still offering salvation. He is still healing today. If you don't know Christ, hallelujah, today can be your day of salvation. Hallelujah. If you have situations going on, today can be your day of redemption. Hallelujah. If you don't know him today, I advise you today, because no man, no woman knows the day or the time that their life is going to be over. Oh, hallelujah. But today, you have an opportunity. Today, you have an opportunity to make it all right. Whatever happened before you came into this building, oh, hallelujah, it can be rectified right now. It's old history. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. If you don't know Christ, you can repeat what I'm going to say. And then after that, I'm going to pray. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray, and I want to want you to pray with me. I want you to pray for whatever is going on in your situation. I want you to loose it right now. I want you to bind up the devil. I want you to loose yourself right now. I want you to be free, because God has made you free. He came, oh, hallelujah, to set you free today. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we come to you this morning, we bless your name and magnify it, Lord. We give you praise and we give you honor. Oh, hallelujah. We bless your name, Father. Lord, in the name of Jesus, if there's somebody today that will repeat these words because they want you as Lord and Savior, if they could say, Jesus, I want you for my Savior. Lord, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved by your grace. Lord, I accepted that you died on the cross and you rose on the third day. And because of that, you conquered death. Lord, I believe you and I receive you into my life. And I believe, Lord, that I am saved and I am a friend to you right now in the name of Jesus. For us right now, I want you all to pray with me, because I want you to pray life into your life. Oh, hallelujah. Life into your life. I want you to pray light into your darkness. I want you to pray healing into your sickness. I want you to pray healing into your disease. I want you to pray life into your relationships, into your marriage. I want you to dispel darkness right now, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, as we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus, Lord, we magnify you this morning. Lord, we lift up your name today, Father. We lift ourselves to your throne of grace humbly, Lord, asking you, Father, to forgive us, Lord, for whatever it is that we've done. Father, I'm asking you right there for healing for somebody in the name of Jesus, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we're going to bind up sickness right now in the name of Jesus. We're going to bind up illness right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're going to bind up being lame today in the name of Jesus, Lord. We're going to bind up alcoholism today in the name of Jesus, Lord. We're going to bind up drugs today in the name of Jesus, Lord. We're going to bind up bad relationships today in the name of Jesus, Lord. We're going to bind up murder today in the name of Jesus, Lord. We're going to bind up racism today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We're going to bind up unemployment today in the name of Jesus. We're going to bind up all manifestations of demonic spirits today in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, we're going to bind up the devil today in the name of Jesus, Lord. We're going to bind up him and his minions today in the name of Jesus, Lord. It is finished today, Lord. Hallelujah. It is finished today, Lord. Thank God I'm free today, Lord. Lord, you loose me today in the name of Jesus. You cleared the way for me today, Jesus. You opened up a path for me today in the name of Jesus. Lord, you're a light into my path today in the name of Jesus. You conquered all, Jesus. Lord, I'm not fearing of dying, because there's life after death in the name of Jesus. We bind it up today, Lord. We rebuke the enemy today, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We magnify you, Lord. We bless you today. And we give you all the praise. Hallelujah. In the name, the magnificent name Hallelujah. The unmatchable name. The name above all names. The name with the authority. The name that has all power above the earth, on the earth, and under the earth. Oh, hallelujah. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we give the Lord a hand clap today?